night's meeting to order. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. Remain standing for a moment. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Announcements. Fire evacuation plan. Please note that in the event of an emergency, the fire department has requested that legislators and all others move at least one block away from the county office building in order not to impede the firefighters in their duties. Cell phones. Please silence cell phones for the duration of the session. Microphones. Please be reminded to use your microphones when speaking so that you are recorded for the official record. Roll call. Bartels?
Yes.
Bowen?
Here.
Cahill?
Yes. Darn it. Darn
it. Cahill?
Here.
Corcoran?
Here.
Criswell?
Here.
Erner?
Here.
Fabiano? Gavaris?
Present.
Green?
Here.
Pansett?
Here.
Hefner?
Here.
Hewitt?
Here.
Lavini?
Yes, here.
Litz?
Here.
Lopez? Maloney?
Here.
Nolan?
Here.
Petit?
Here.
Roberts?
I am here.
Ronk?
Present.
Sperry?
Here.
Stewart?
Here.
And you should tell.
Here.
21 present and 2 absent.
Okay, Minardi, you're going
to run? I'm coming.
I will now open the floor for public comment. You'll have up to 2 minutes to speak. You can be mindful of the clock at the back of the room, and also if you could, if you have any written comments that you'd like to submit, we'll include them in the record. Are there any people signed up to speak?
There are. There are 5 speakers signed up, and the first speaker is Dave Donaldson.
Okay, I'm going to ask that Legislator Roberts, that you take your seat, and I almost said Legislator Donaldson, if you could just wait till Legislator Roberts takes his seat.
All right.
Thank you.
Democrats are the only ones that can extend the time of the meeting. Can I sit down?
All righty. Didn't plan on coming back, but I figured I would. Ladies and gentlemen, and Kenron. I compliment the chair in getting many needed changes to the charter into one of the resolutions that are here. The commission, the Charter Revision Commission, put forth many items, and they did it in a redline version that was sent to the body to side-by-side comparisons. My problem as a member of the commission, like that of the towns and the planning board, is the non-transparent changes snuck in the commission, the towns, the planning board were all opposed to, and not having that side-by-side comparison when it was sent to you. Doing that while rank-and-file legislators were distracted with the budget might actually be downright sneaky, but I won't get into that. There is no need to change the way our county chooses the planning director. I know there was an amendment since I last spoke, but that change is like putting lipstick on the pig. It doesn't return it to the original intent of the small d democracy that has worked quite well for over half a century. Amend this back to the regular and return it to its original form, other than the mundane general neutral language changes that corporate is. They make sense. I also have serious concerns with the idea that a person cannot serve as executive unless they have been a qualified voter in the county for 4 years. I can't see that holding up in court, actually. This would be burdensome to renters that may want to run, as well as veterans. Despite what some may say, many veterans were registered to vote where they were stationed. This also seemed a little homophobic, but go into that. In regard to the planner, don't insult our local municipalities and the planning board members that you appointed by weakening their position in regard to planning, and don't insult the Charter Revision Commission, whose members spend upwards of 100 hours of time on these issues.
Thank you.
On the other, I'll say one last thing. Another issue, I say it's absurd that our controller, the elected watchdog, had to go to court to get the findings of an executive investigation that cost upwards of $50,000. Thank you for standing up.
The next speaker is Mike Baden.
Good evening. I'd like to echo the comments that former legislative chair Donaldson said. I couldn't say that better. I just want to speak to sort of the irony. I'm given 2 minutes to speak here. Before I came into this meeting tonight, I sat in the parking lot and went back to the audio of the Laws and Rules Committee where these changes were discussed, particularly the planning director. It was less than the 2 minutes that I'm allowed to speak tonight. I want to leave you with three phrases that I heard from three legislators. I'm not going to name names, but three legislators. The three comments I heard were, that's got to change. Excuse me, that's got to go. And another phrase was, if there's an alternative to this, I'm not considering it. They are a bit of paraphrases. I should have written them down, but this was the debate about the topic of the planning director. We had more debate tonight in the Democrat caucus. Thank you for that. Thank you for your consideration. Whichever way this vote goes, the county planning board will abide by it, but I just would like to ask you to consider sending this back to committee, having more discussion, whether it's this body, the next body, before you make changes to a document that goes once every 10 years, please, please, just have the respect for the Charter Commission, for the County Planning Board, and give us a seat at the table to discuss this. Thank you. And happy holidays to everybody. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Steve Turk.
Hello, everybody. First, I want to thank everyone. I definitely want to share that we appreciate those of you who have picked up the phone, responded to an email, or to see our operation firsthand. Thank you. And as always, we ask, please, if you have not visited Rocking Horse, we'd love you to see what we have created. We feel it's family magic in a snow globe. Our concern with the bed tax increase is real and how it affects our business, and most importantly, our guests. These are men and women who scrimp and save for their family's next vacation, which sometimes is that family's only vacation. They are not rich and faceless. They are regular folks, and surprisingly, many are from right here in the Hudson Valley. And like all of us in this room, they measure the price of their purchase in its entirety. Looking back 20-plus years, the resort operators included the Neville, Mohonk Mountain House, Granite Hotel, Rocking Horse Ranch, Philip Aguilera, Fallsview Hotel, Villa Nueva, Sunnycroft Dude Ranch, now Watchtower, Tamarack Lodge, and Pine Grove Dude Ranch. Both are now religious camps. Seeing a theme. And of course, Williams Lake Hotel. Who knows? Now, there are only two major resorts left standing. Meanwhile, four of America's largest resorts opened their doors in our very own backyard. Camelback Resort, Great Wolf Lodge, Kalahari, North America's largest indoor water park, and Legoland Resort, right here in Orange County, all competing for the same marketplace. At Rocking Horse Ranch, we are supported by a legendary team of 350 strong, most of whom are raising their families right here in Ulster County. We simply, respectfully ask that tonight you consider passing this proposed amendment, which includes the all-inclusive technical change. Thank you again, and may we all find peace during this holiday period.
Thank you.
Samantha Turk.
Hi, my name is Samantha Turk. I am third generation Rocking Horse Ranch, representing the business that my grandparents built in the 1950s. Thank you to the legislators who, especially in these last few weeks, have set aside the time to speak with us. We are beyond appreciative. I know there is a lot that you face in representing this county. We will continue to be transparent with any legislators who ask. We can point to and show you every expense that comes out of our nightly rate, including the affordable housing for dozens of our employees and their families, and the subsidized utilities that we cover as well. Our guests save and save to visit us. We cannot afford to simplify this to a pass-through tax. We have already lowered our nightly rate. Our occupancy, and therefore Ulster County tax revenue, will be affected. Long term, this means less tax dollars for crucial agendas like affordable housing. As third generation, I want to come here and talk about things like better public transportation for our employees, who are also your constituents. Let's work on this together. I will be here. For our employees living in our affordable housing, our average rent is under $600 per month. I know there must be an opportunity for us to work together on this as well. Most of our kind have died off. We are literally your last resort. We want our guests to pay their fair share on our room-only revenue the same equitable way every other single hotel, motel, Airbnb, and short-term rental property is. For 65 years, we've paid our property tax, state sales tax, and county occupancy tax, and have employed thousands of your constituents. Let's work together for the next 65 and beyond, and let's not drive the county's occupancy and state sales tax away. Thank you.
Thank you.
The last speaker signed up is Tom Smiley.
Thank you. Good evening, everybody. I'm just going to use my time to address a couple of comments I heard at the tail end of the caucus in this room right before you. One of them had to do with the adjustment to the 20% allocation for inclusive resorts. And, you know, where did that number come from? And I can tell you, for me, the number came from my operating expenses. Divided all my operating expenses, and it was one year, I think it was 19, one year it's 20, one year it's 21, basically 20%. The balance of the, you know, the operating expense is going to those activities, going to three meals daily for our guests. So it is a rationally contrived number. It isn't just a random number that we picked out of the air. The other was, I believe, Legislator Maloney. It commented about making the adjustment 20%. If it needs to be adjusted later, it can. And, you know, I'd ask that that be seriously considered in this. Right now, I have a significant amount of group business booked, contracted. If this goes into effect January 1st, I'm going to take about the first $40,000 of the increase on group business on the chin, because we've already contracted that business. It's already it's a locked-in contract. I have to honor it. If we can take the time, make the adjustments 20% with a 4% increase, and in time, if the belief is that it should be adjusted to another number, that'll give me time to prepare and be, you know, ready to go with my group contracts. So, thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there anyone here who did not sign up to speak on subjects currently before the legislature that would like to speak? Okay, seeing none, we'll move into this evening's resolution.
Resolution 760, adopting proposed local law number 16 of 2023, a local law amending the Ulster County Charter and amending the administrative code for the County of Ulster to modify various provisions.
And are you in a wrong?
At this time, I'd like to make a motion. We refer this back to the Laws and Rules Committee.
I'll second that.
Okay. There's a motion and a second for referral back to Laws and Rules. On the referral, Legislator Nolan.
Yes, I'm often in favor of referrals that will allow us more time on a topic. On this particular topic, I don't think that the referral will be helpful to us. There's been a considerable amount of work that's already gone into this, and we'll have 8 new people joining the legislature in January. This is the type of work that is very difficult to come up to speed on quickly. And so starting in February, if that's what we're able to do, I think we would have many, many, many months before we would come to a point of decision. And I don't think that the most of the issues are issues that would be ones that people would feel left out on. And there's a lot of technical amendments in here, and that so we should just pass those. The controversial section is section 29 on the appointment of the director of planning. And I think we can go ahead and adopt this with the language as it is. It is quite possible that we won't need to use this. The charter, this section of the charter has not been used since the charter came into effect. And so we would have the opportunity to go back and undo this if we think we've done this incorrectly. I would just further say, I guess, anticipating that, I'll wait. This is just on the amendment, on the referral.
Majority Leader Hefner.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to be a no on the referral. I don't think that's a surprise. I do want to thank the members that served over the last year on the Charter Revision Commission. If folks haven't, they should read Chair Meme's letter to the public on the Charter Revision's website, where she clearly lays out this process as we experienced it 10 years ago. They obviously and very thoroughly did the charge of their duties, which part of it is making recommendations to the legislature, and the process clearly allows for the legislature then to take its own actions. And that's exactly what we're doing in a very minimal way. I think it's been cited over 98% of what's brought to us is being passed as is. If there is a referral, I truly do request that future legislators, again, that's going to be tough for the 8 new incoming legislators. I know one of the most common things I've heard as leader is the difficulty new legislators have coming in. So to task them with this right out of the gate, I think we'll be doing a disservice to them and the public. But I do hope that they consider that if they do keep the pool as is, which the pool I don't believe has actually ever really been used to select a planning director. So it's not like we're changing something that's never even actually happened in this county. And I do hope they consider that they at least some protections, for example, ensuring that no individual that served on the planning board in the last 5 years or whatever not be eligible for the pool. I think some type of protection like that is necessary. But as we all know from our experience with Dennis Doyle, who've been fortunate to have there's very few positions in the county more influential and important than the planning director, or that we as a legislature interact with in terms of 6-4 staff than the planning director. And by no means, Leader Rock and I have had to make tough decisions out of a pool, as we did with the redistricting commission, and it really sucks to pick out of a pool that other people made for you. And I don't believe it's the best practice in order to achieve Ulster County having the best possible planning director the public deserves. But that does not mean that the executive cannot and should not take recommendations from the planning board 100%. And by all means, we know that the supervisors have strong influence in this community, and the executive will surely listen their recommendations to anyone they want to put forward. So I ask my colleagues to consider putting that on the referral. Thank you.
Legislator Petit.
Thank you. I wouldn't underestimate our 8 new legislators, because I've seen at least 4 of them, and
Many of them have come to multiple meetings, so they've really been hitting the ground running. I'm concerned about the revisions as they're presented now. It's my understanding that they did make some amendments to the controller section, but there's also the geographic representation that's been brought up as a concern, the planning department, and human rights. So there are at least four things that would need to again be revised next year. I believe that if we refer this back and spend a couple more months on it, we will get a much better document, and I'm sure that that legislative body would feel more comfortable voting on it.
Legislator Maloney?
Yep. Excellent point there. I think of the new legislators coming in, one's a building inspector, one's a municipal lawyer, one's spent a lifetime in the water department. These are individuals that I think a fresh look at the at the one planning decision, which I believe was, we talked earlier about how much we think of the Charter Commission. Well, they rejected it unanimously, I believe. And I just want to know why, of all the things to go after, it's such an obscure way to appoint and hire, and we went right after that, right as our planning director is about to retire, I think. He's not going to work here forever. So is there already someone in mind? It was such an aggressive push by several powerful people in the county to change this, and it makes me wonder if they are going to ultimately choose out of the pool, probably, then why are we going after this? And I want everyone to remember something we haven't talked about and we don't enough, and that some of the things we haven't talked about at all, is the planning director and how much the planning director works with municipalities, more so than any other appointee in the county. You could even make the argument that they're paid by the county and their function is a county function, but many times they're working for the municipalities, these same municipalities that have been growingly frustrated by their inclusion and interaction with the county, and we're going to take this away. Do you know what the planning director is involved with at times?
Is this on the
referral?
Yes.
I'm going to give some latitude because, yes, I'm going to give latitude.
Because I'm worried that we don't refer.
I'm following.
So, thank you.
Continue.
The planning director works, our own planning director has worked with developers recently, millions of dollars in grants, millions. Appraisals, run point on appraisals that resulted in evaluations swinging millions of dollars. Tax breaks, tax credits, he's in on all these things. Don't you think having 30 people in from all the municipalities in the town is a cleaner, safer way than one, the most powerful person in the county, just being able to appoint that person that can then go out and influence tens of millions of dollars? It really makes sense to keep it the way it is. It really makes sense to keep it the way it is.
Legislator Nolan? Oh, I'm sorry. Can I let Legislator Erner go first, please? First time.
Thank you. To add to the comments by legislators Maloney and Petit, I like the decentralization of power that the current appointment process for the Director of Planning does. I would like to see that with other department heads for which we have a corresponding board. And so I will support the referral for that reason so we can take another look at that. And also, my predecessor mentioned in the public comment about the requirement for the county executive, and I also don't support that. It doesn't say whether it's consecutive years or not, but 4 years in a row or 4 years entirely, leave it up to the voters, and I think it does discriminate against renters.
That's, I don't know.
Yes. I think it's hard to describe the process that is proposed, was proposed in the charter originally and that is being argued for, to have the planning board members from the different districts be the ones to constitute the pool from which the new planning director is chosen, to call that representative. It is no elected official. Those are all appointed officials. And they're not appointed with the qualification to choose the people that would work in this sort of position. They do allied work, but their qualifications to make this recommendation. I think that it's very difficult for somebody else to give you a pool of people and then force you to choose from those for a position you're going to be working with very closely. So I'm echoing the majority leader's Heppner's comments here. The executive appoints the other offices, so it's actually an anomaly that this was set up this way. And I have talked with people who were involved in the process of setting it up this way. And if there is the intention to try to make sure that there is input from the planning board, which works very closely with the director of planning. However, the director of planning also works extremely closely with the Department of the Environment, with the new Department of Housing, with every, with transportation, with virtually every part of the county. And so to single out that the planning board gets to make nominations and have a veto power basically by only their nominees being acceptable, you know, being the pool of candidates, leaves out those other departments that the director of planning will be working with in intimate ways. And it forces the county executive to be in the position of working with somebody that might not have even been on the executive shortlist. So those are bad consequences. The trade-off that is being offered here, that it somehow is more representative, it just isn't. The county executive is elected from all of the people across the county, and there are tens of thousands of people who have voted for each of our county executives. There's nowhere near that amount of voters who are in the people who appointed the people on the planning board. So it's just not, by the numbers, more representative. It's way less representative. It does make sure that every part of the county gets to have a voice. So I strongly approve the current suggested language, which would allow the planning board to nominate so that we get those people from different parts, the perspectives of the people from different parts of the county. But then I think that the county executive has to be allowed to select the person that she's going to work with very closely in this very important position. And I'm sorry for using a gender pronoun there, the county executive, to work with the county executive's director of planning.
Legislator Stewart.
Thank you. I just want to say that I'm just so torn by this particular issue. I'm listening to the arguments, and I see really cogent arguments on both sides. And I feel more at a loss now than I did when we first started discussing this several weeks ago. I'm going to be voting to send this back to committee. Thank you.
Legislator Green?
Yeah, I originally I tried to respect the recommendations of the Charter Commission, but I think the bottom line is that the Planning Board can make their recommendations. The executive can choose additional candidates and then make a decision, and it ultimately comes to the legislature. And I think that that is the safeguard. So I just wanted to point that out.
Legislator Maloney?
Yep. You know, we do talk about that a lot, how it comes to the legislature, and I think I can count on one finger the amount of times we've rejected a appointee over the last 10 years of the Vista Public Defender, the only one that I've seen that happen with. It's really a rarity, and it becomes pretty tough to say, well, who are we to say? I mean, there has to be such issues with the choice for us to stand up and go, no, you can't have that job here that the executive wants to give you. So we do get to a point, and I appreciate that, but I don't think it's almost equivalent to a rubber stamp. I would like to just talk about what Eric just said, how complicated this is, and how there is reason to kick this back and go over this some more. And the reason we can, unlike the bed tax, where there's money to be lost, if we can't come up with something tonight, there's money to be lost. We just heard, a pretty serious point made by one of the biggest employers in the county of what it's going to cost his business. And if we can't come to it, we decide to kill that for now. And then there's money to be lost on the county side that we're budgeted for. When it comes to the charter, nothing. There's no time restraints here. Dennis is going nowhere. Yes, we all think there's retirement in the next couple of years for him, but it's not in the next couple of days. There's nothing that's really puts us on the clock that we can't take a couple of months and clean this up and get it right, have some real debate. As Mike said earlier, listening back to the meeting, some of the things were debated quite a bit. Some of them weren't debated much at all. And it's not going to cost us anything to take the time and get it right and have put something up that we're all in agreement with.
Legislator Hewitt.
Thank you. I just wanted to mention that as we talk about the new year, we're talking about building a legislature that can dig into issues a little bit deeper, have off-site meetings, strategic planning. This is a great issue to start with. We have 8 new legislators, as Legislator Maloney mentioned, with a lot of talent and skills. And I think we'll be able to use this issue to start off the year right by really digging it deeper, since 3 members of the Charter Commission are asking us to do that.
Okay, on the referral.
We are a short no with the following yeses. Legislators Kerner, Petit, Hewitt, Maloney, Uchitel, and Stewart.
Can you do this one more time for me?
Yes. Kerner, Petit, Hewitt, Maloney, Uchitel, and Stewart.
Or a short yes.
There's 5 of you. 11. Yes, the motion to refer is defeated 11 to 10. On the resolution.
Long roll, please.
Long roll. Yes.
That would be Bartels with the yes. Bowen.
Yes.
Cahill. Corcoran.
No.
Criswell.
Yes.
Erner.
No.
Gavaris.
Yes.
Green.
Yes.
Hansett.
No.
Heppner.
Yes.
Hewitt.
No.
Levine.
Yes.
Litz.
No.
Maloney.
You know, I really think it was a reasonable request, and with something like this, I think you vote it down when you don't, when you can't even go back to committee to work on something we all agree on. But no.
Nolan.
Yes.
Petit.
No.
Roberts.
No.
Ronk.
No.
Sperry.
Yes.
Stewart.
I'm a no with hesitation.
And you should tell.
Yes.
The resolution is defeated 11 to 10. The next resolution is 762, adopting proposed local law number 19 of 2023, a local law amending Article 3, hotel and motel room occupancy tax of the Code of the County of Ulster.
On the resolution, Minority
Leader Ron. I move that we make the amendment as it's before us.
Can you clarify just for
Amendment A? I think is what you were referring to.
Amendment A. Let me just clarify that with Legislator
Robert.
And Robert.
And Nolan. And Liz.
I got you, buddy.
Do we have a second?
Legislator.
Liz, a second. Okay. On the amendment, this is, we're calling an Amendment A offered by legislators Roberts, Maloney, no particular order, Nolan, and Liz.
That's all.
Legislator Nolan.
I'd like to start by thanking all the motels, hotels, including the all-inclusives, for what they bring to the county, and especially thank them for rebounding so strongly following COVID, which was hard on this particular industry. This sector has brought increased tourism and attention to our county in a very favorable way, and tourism dollars are what are allowing this body to make important changes on behalf of the members of our community, including housing and many other important activities. So I think that just want to say that to start. Second, the schedule of taxation for the bed tax includes a schedule of ratios of bed to other charges that determines what that the proportion of the tax is applied to the different hotels depending upon what they do, and hotels, motels, facilities that offer room, breakfast, and one other charge, I'm going to call that an extra, have the room taxed at 85% and the board taxed at 15%. And then that escalates as more meals and an extra thing are added. There are two groups that are charged 60% for the room and 40% for the board. That's hotels and motels that offer room, breakfast, dinner, and an extra, or two meals and an extra. What the inclusives do is offer all three meals and many extras. And for that reason, charging them 40% for the room and 60% for the board just doesn't reflect what their costs are. The proportion of their operating expenses is more like 80-20. And that's the reason to propose that we correct this long-standing overcharge that I believe has come in because the guidance that was used in 1991 to generate this chart didn't include, maybe didn't even anticipate, three meals and so many other activities. Those activities include water parks and horseback riding, entertainment, performances, crafts, activities. It's easy when you look at what is offered at these facilities to see how that is 80% of their operating expenses and therefore is not really related to the room cost. To make this change, I think, corrects a longstanding injustice. And if the fact that the timing is such that the industry doesn't even have a chance to build in the change is problematic. I would suggest we make an amendment to change the date of everything, but which is what we need to do to change the date in terms of the timing of this tax going in. But we need to keep the date January 1st for the 2% to 4% raise. So I think we're stuck doing this. If we make this change tonight, we keep the all-inclusive industry kind of whole. And if we decide that we need to make adjustments later on, we could bring forward a resolution that changes the rate back to 60-40, if that's what it should be. But 2 months or 4 months or 6 months out so that they can plan for it. So this would be an attempt to keep from the industry from having that unexpected, fairly large extra deficit to their budgets.
Majority Leader Hepner.
Thank you. Sorry, I'll be brief. I'm going to be no on this amendment, but I do appreciate the conversations I've had both in meetings and privately with individuals on both sides of this issue. I truly believe that after the extensive debate we've had on this issue that we should move forward at 4%. You know, this is an unfortunate issue because you never like to see a scenario that potentially pits businesses against each other. But unfortunately, with the state guidance, that is what we're presented with. I totally support, you know, Comptroller DiNapoli and the state coming back to us and with a new definition and new guidance on all inclusives. Because if you look at the list, you know, we never really got clarity on this. Our county tourism website lists like 6 all-inclusives in the county. I don't know if that's 100% accurate, but either way, there's a very distinct difference between some of these within that all-inclusive group from one to the other. And I think it should be looked at more granular eventually, because if it's going to have to fit industry businesses against each other, at least it should do so in the least amount as possible. Unfortunately, I think this is a necessary step. We haven't raised property taxes in almost a decade in this county, but we have a lot of rising costs to the county. I remind folks that almost 70% of our budget is mandated by New York State for services for our residents. We don't have a say in that. And a lot of these services are important. And it's either eventually, if we don't keep track with our revenue, future legislators are going to be faced with the decision, do we cut services that we do offer within that 30%, or do we pass on a property tax increase, which, you know, for many of these industry people would be much more detrimental than this, asking folks from outside coming in to pay, especially with the acreages many of them use and operate on. If we had to increase property taxes after a decade, we saw that in Dutchess County, just a 3/4% sales tax increase is going to cost Dutchess County taxpayers approximately $10 million. So I don't think this solves by any means all our financial woes in the future, but I believe it's an appropriate step forward, and will give a little bit of room for future legislators, but I definitely hear the arguments on both sides. I've definitely been educated and better because of that. But for now, I'm a no on this amendment. Thank you.
Legislator Lynch.
Thank you. Majority Leader Heppner brings up some very good points about property taxes and the amount of money this county needs to operate. We spend tens of millions of dollars on advertising for tourism to bring people to this county. It's our largest economic driver. Yet, on the flip side of the coin, we are taking the largest employers in our hospitality, tourism, and we're going to penalize them. It really doesn't make sense to me. And he just mentioned that Dutchess County had to raise their occupancy tax and raise their tax, and Dutchess County would love to have all-inclusive in their county. They don't have any, and that's probably why they have to keep raising their taxes, because they're not generating that sales tax and what comes to this county based on tourism. Hundreds of millions of dollars. They employ hundreds of people that live in this county. And figures will tell you that it's an 80-20 split on their operating costs. Yet, we're going to take a blind eye to that, and we're going to penalize the largest hospitality generator of economics in this county. Doesn't make sense to me.
Legislator Roberts.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
I've heard over and over the last few weeks we've been debating this about the state guidance recommends 40%. I don't take much stake in what the New York State recommends. We are the highest tax state in the country. We need to talk about income and property taxes. It's driving away businesses and people from, people are leaving in droves. We want to keep the Turk and Smiley family here in Ulster County, not drive them away. Another thing I heard over and over, we're going to lose money in January if this doesn't pass. We're not going to lose any money. It's not our money. It's their money. It's the people's money that come in Ulster County. And you heard from the Mr. Smiley, he's going to lose $40,000 of his own money to cover this tax because we rushed into it. And that's a travesty. We should have sympathy with them. I can't vouch for the Smiley family, but I know the Turk family has been good to Southern Ulster County. They've employed a lot of people. They have a community day where they take in residents of Plattekill. I think they do the same for Lloyd, too. To come and enjoy their park at no cost. So we appreciate that. We're going to do everything we can to make this fair for you guys.
Minority Leader Ron.
Thank you. I'll be brief. I've made a lot of comments on this over the last couple of months. You know, one thing I keep hearing, tonight, one of the big themes is the rushed. Our public speakers talked about the charter changes being rushed. You know, I believe that this law was rushed. I made that pretty clear. We're just over, because we had to do this in special session, we're just over, I believe, a month now since we set the public hearing to adopt this law. It's an extraordinary circumstance that we pass a public hearing, have the public hearing, and adopt the law inside a month or just outside of a month. We typically have longer than that. It's also the first time that we've ever used this on-the-desk method since I've been a legislator. I'm pretty sure that general municipal law has existed since then, but all of a sudden we're taking good note of it. I will say one thing that I haven't said previously about this, and it's that this legislature and this government have talked a lot over the last couple of years about housing. And we're in a housing crisis. These two businesses use some of their money to house their staff. They have each of the businesses that have come and spoke to us have on-site housing for at least some of their staff. And I'm hearing discounts for electric. That was the first I've heard about that. But our utilities, the hotels and motels that the new 4% tax is going to apply to, I don't believe, and I don't know, but I've never heard that they house any of their staff at their locations. I know that, I had a aunt that worked up at Mohonk, and when she, when the roads were too bad for her to be able to get home, they said, stay up here. And there wasn't room in the dorms. They put her up in a hotel room, one of the probably $600 a night, $700 a night hotel rooms. They provide meals for their staff. Again, this isn't the average hotel or motel, and I think that that's the reason why we really need to consider, doing this more equitably, especially since we're raising the tax and we're doing so with local law at the very last minute. If I thought that a referral would pass, I'd make a motion to refer, but I understand there's a concern about causing a budget gap. I'll not belabor how foolish I think it is to put in a tax into the budget, tax revenue into the budget before it's signed by the governor, as that's been used as the reason why we didn't talk about this earlier than, with a month's time. But I sincerely hope that people vote for this amendment, change it now. If you determine after what I think would be more thoughtful consideration than we've had on this that it shouldn't be 20%, it should be 30% or 25%, whatever the next legislature thinks, you could always amend it you could always amend it up. I think that, you know, waiting and then amending it down, you're less likely to do that, especially, you know, as bills start coming in next year. So, and as we've seen in setting up multi-million dollar, you know, $10 million, $20 million special funds out of our fund balance, we have adequate fund balance to cover, you know, the loss of a month or the, you know, even the loss of the 20% for a month.
Legislator Maloney.
Sure. A couple things with regards to the state guidance. As Kevin says, I mean, to New York State, we've seen the cannabis roll out here. It's not like we're exactly on our game in a lot of ways. But, and I think with when the state was coming up with whatever they came up with, I'm sure they weren't at the Rocking Horse Ranch looking at, but if they, I mean, they were looking all around the states at hotels and places that offered a little more. That's how they came up with that language. They sure weren't at a world-class, all-inclusive, like the few that we have here in Ulster County. Otherwise, I believe they would have come up with a better number. But who knows with the state. You know, I just heard one of my colleagues before talk about what's going to happen when times get tight and we go right to increasing taxes. We got a $410 million budget. I'm pretty sure there's some savings there, but that's never what we do in government. And I don't think there's enough of a private sector approach in government anymore where you start pinching pennies and looking for pennies, and that's why we don't appreciate pennies, because government, by definition these days, is wasteful, and all they know how to do is go and tax when things don't go their way. But when you're in the private sector, you realize that every penny counts and you're making decisions all day long. You're always chasing pennies because pennies add up to dollars. And all your margins go into one big hopper, and that's the price. That's the price that Kevin gives when he's doing an estimate. That's the price you end up paying when you go into an all-inclusive. That's the price when you pay when you come into my little shop. And it matters. Every little thing goes into that. And we have to remember that they're making decisions all day long. That's $50, $20, $30 in savings on a stay to keep it where they're still booked enough to be in business. And we don't really have the right or the expertise or the knowledge, especially without going and looking at the numbers they've given us, to go and say, this doesn't matter to you. Well, let's double it or triple. Let's just keep on going. It's an endless supply over there. Multi-generational, family-owned, not corporate. You know, we say we want this country to look a certain way with regards to businesses and not being so corporate and national and conglomerates. And here we have county residents, successful county residents that pay. And this is a bipartisan group here that's fighting for this, bipartisan. And we're going to look at some of our colleagues and say, yeah, we're going to go nickel and dime the biggest employer in your town. There's several legislators here that the lifeblood of their economy revolves around these businesses, and it's a fair ask. And a bipartisan group is asking for it, and it's something that we better be careful playing chicken, because we just saw what happened when we played chicken on the charter, because we may not get this passed right now. Because we're pretty close to getting this through and working on it later with as far as tweaking, if we wanted to meet them halfway and talk, and maybe we can improve the language down the road. Instead of 0.089%, maybe it should be a flat 1, and they can have time to prepare, but give us the time to do that. We're going to get huge dollars when we already have huge dollars sitting there. We're creating these accounts now because we have so much sitting money. So we have a minute. I think that money is going to be drying up over the next couple of years, and we need to start doing a better job budgeting in this county. But let's take the bed. Let's take the 4%. Let's amend this fair amendment, and let's work on that language later if we so choose. But forcing this through, I think, is unfair, and I think the wrong move.
Legislator Stewart.
Thank you. I just want to say that, unfortunately, legislators Ronk and Maloney pretty much stole a lot of the points that I was planning on making. You know, the fact that through these businesses like Mohonk and the Rocking Horse Ranch provide housing for their employees, I think is something that simply cannot be overlooked. And I was going to say perhaps the county should be looking to Tom Smiley for advice on how to, you know, run a successful housing program. Also, I wanted to point out, as others had mentioned, you know, that that businesses like these are one of the major reasons why people do come to Ulster County. And I think that especially holds true with Mohawk, which is, you know, like a world-class resort and also the largest employer in Marbletown. So for these reasons, I'm going to be voting with my colleagues, Maloney, Nolan, Hansen, Litz, Roberts, Ronk, and others on this. So thanks.
Legislator Criswell, Vice Chair.
Yeah, thank you. I've done a lot of thinking about this and spoken to a lot of you. I've spoken to some of the people in the audience today. And I agree that the large all-inclusives contribute so much to our region and are a key component of our county's economic engine, despite good-paying jobs and contribute to our sales tax and bed tax, and we need to find ways to support them. I love the idea that you brought forth about transportation. I thought that was excellent, and I'd love to try and pursue that next year. I just don't think that this amendment is the way to do that. We've approved our budget. The increase is accounted for in the budget, and it would be fiscally irresponsible for us not to pass it and support the budget that we approved. The other piece of this is I've just not seen any evidence to the fact that this increase, which is paid in large part by folks from outside of the county, would have any influence on a visitor deciding to stay at a different facility in a different county or state. The amount is very small in relation to the total bill. For a family of four, for a two-night, three-day stay at one of our large resorts, it's roughly $3,000. And out of that, the percentage of increase for that whole stay would be $24. And I just can't wrap myself around thinking that someone would, for $24, decide to go to Pennsylvania or to New Jersey rather than to the resort, to the beautiful destination that they've been wanting to go for months and months and saving up for. So 24 bucks to me just doesn't strike me as a deal breaker for somebody to make a drastic decision to go to an entire different state. Lastly, a portion of these funds that we're about to approve, hopefully, will go to support our Housing Action Fund, which is designed to help county residents who need it most. I agree that we should take a look at this, but I feel like there are still a lot of questions. We've talked about the fact that this was a formula that was created in 1992. So much has changed in the industry since that time that I think a really fresh look needs to happen. We need to really understand what the split in costs would be, and I think we need to do a new formula, and I think we need to do that next year after we pass this. Thank you.
Minority Leader Ronk.
Thanks. Something Legislator Maloney said just reminded me to mention one more time that the state formula that's being talked about is not for occupancy tax. The state formula that's been talked about is for sales and use tax on hotels. So I just want to make that clear that, you know, where people say, well, this is the guidance that we have from the state, it's not about occupancy tax. That's what we're extrapolating it to, but it's not. It's not given to us from the state on occupancy tax. So please don't use that as your reason to vote for or against this amendment.
Legislator Maloney.
Legislator Criswell, did you want to respond directly to something I said? Go ahead and then
if I may.
I'll to the chair.
I'd like to continue in order because it's the second time. So let me just go with you for the second time and then let's keep going.
Okay. I just wanted to make the quick point that I keep hearing that theme that we know better. Here we are in government, many of us not facing a real budget in the private sector, telling the private sector, we know better than you about your own books and what it means to you. And it's, on one hand, it's already budgeted for, and we can't handle going forward without this money. But then on the other hand, it's just a couple of pennies and means nothing to them. Who's a bigger entity? I mean, we have a $410 million budget, and 99%, once we pass this, even with this amendment, of that money, the increase in the bed tax, we're still going to be getting. But we can't go on without it. We need that money as we have this huge surplus. And like I said, it means nothing to them, but everything to us somehow.
Legislator Nolan.
Thank you.
Yes, I'm going to echo those comments. I found it very strange to hear that Ulster County couldn't do without this money, but the businesses or the people, you know, are not going to notice it. I've been convinced by my colleagues and by a vote here that we're going to increase the bed tax from 2% to 4%. I didn't want to do that, but I've been convinced that we need the funding and that it's a more progressive tax, if you will. It taxes people who are coming here for what could be considered a luxury activity, a recreational activity, and that's better than increasing the property tax by a long shot, for sure. However, these businesses that have been operating for generations, literally generations, you know, family down to parents down to children and then again, they have been working to keep the amount of profit that they make enough to keep them going and keep the price low enough to keep the people coming. It is a tough balance. It is a thin line when you're doing all of this stuff. And I think that there are more modern motels and hotels that have just increased their room rates and offer a different experience, probably not as much to families, and they're able to do that, and they probably have a better profit margin than what we are being told this particular sector of this industry has. So I'm really concerned that we are asking folks who've done their job really well for decades and brought what we need and increasingly doing that job well to bring more people here to say, okay, you're doing so well, we can just add this on or not fix this thing that you've been asking us to fix for so long. And, you know, please just accommodate us. It just seems like we're asking a lot. I mean, this is an industry I would have liked to bring more resources to because of how badly they were hit during COVID. They had to close. These places had to close. And so instead of in 2023 coming with funding for this sector, we're adding this tax. Okay, we're going to go from 2% to 4%, but could we at least fix this as we're going? And again, the guidance from the comptroller, besides being not exactly for this, is from 1991. And yes, I think it should be looked at again. Ulster County prides itself on being a leader on making many of these changes in the human rights realm and in other realms. Why can't we lead on this and show that this 60-40 that makes sense for a business that is doing all the meals and all of the entertainment that somebody can kind of imagine? So let's do it this way. It's a small amount, $40,000 for Ulster County's budget is small. I'm going to suggest it's much bigger for somebody in this business. Let's take that, and then if we feel like we need to come back and that we went in the wrong direction with this or went too far, we can fine-tune it. But let's not be putting the accommodation on this industry. Let's accommodate for the fact that we want to move fast. We want to have it done by January because we put it in the budget, and we just want to do it all at once. Let's make this small change, and it won't hurt us very much at all. In fact, it will just require us to change our minds.
Vice Chair Criswell?
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify to Menard and Aronk that I wasn't speaking about the state guidance. I was actually talking about us creating our own guidance because it's just a recommendation from the state. We don't have to, we can follow or not follow, and I was saying we should look at it in sort of out of whole cloth and recreate that. And that would be something that, again, Legislator Nolan's point, you know, I really do think we should fix this. But I think it's such an outdated formula, and I think there's so much new information and so many questions that I've heard as I've been doing my research about this that I think we need a little bit of time. So I think we should take it up in January, early February, and come up with a new formula that really just has a lot more information about all the different types of accommodations that are out there now. There's so many new things that have happened in 30 years. And then lastly, I just want to say I keep hearing what to me sounds like we're taking money out of these businesses' pockets, and that's kind of annoying me because it really is tourists who are coming in and paying their bill. That's who the money is coming from. Whether we think it's going to be a large amount or a small amount, it's coming out of the pockets of the tourists.
Legislator Bowen.
So when I look at the room percentage for starting out, if your room, breakfast, other charges, it's 85%, and then it keeps decreasing until we get down to 16%, where it's room, brunch, or room, lunch, dinner, other charges, room, breakfast, dinner, other charges are at 60%. And now what this resolution has us doing is going from 60% to 20% for the all-inclusives. Is that correct?
So,
I'm talking about the as we're bumping down in terms of the types of businesses. So we're going, so say, the Minnewaska Lodge is at 60%, and then all of a sudden, we have the Mohonk at 20%. How is that fair? All the other surrounding counties are at 4%. I don't think we're being unreasonable with this 4%.
Legislator Green?
Yeah, I just want to be sure that we're not approaching this backwards in the sense that the version of the resolution that we're considering has several amendments. There is a version with one amendment, and then there's the original. And I want to be sure that if the version C with multiple amendments is defeated and reconsidered, as several of my colleagues have suggested, so that we have the revenue, but if something needs to be adjusted, it can be. I just want to be sure that we will consider at least version B with the one amendment, essentially one amendment, or the basic, because usually we have a resolution and we discuss the amendments. So, and we're doing that, but I just, it seems to me like we may not get to the basic resolution.
We will get to the basic resolution, just providing clarification. We're considering an amendment now, depending on what happens with that amendment. We will consider the basic amendment. The second amendment that you have before you will be considered if offered, depending on what happens with this amendment. So, for clarification, Legislator Litz.
Thank you. Minority Leader mentioned before, I've heard so many things about we need to tweak this in the future. Let's look at it again. Let's do this. Let's do that. We're rushing this through. Typically, if we had so many questions about a resolution, we refer it back. We've done that dozens of times since I've been in the legislature, if things need to be tweaked. We're not doing that. And why are we not doing that? We're not doing that because the county executive put in her budget an increase to the occupancy tax before the legislature voted to increase the property tax. That's a practice that is backwards, putting the horse or the cart ahead of the horse. I don't know why we would ever put something in the budget that we have not passed an increase. I do remember in history that did happen to Governor Mario Cuomo many years ago. There was an environmental bond that was going before up for referendum, going before the voters in November. But in like July and August, he spent $20 million of that money, and it wasn't passed. So he found himself in a predicament. He sold the maintenance rights of I-84 to the Thruway for $20 million. That's like the kid down the street coming to you and saying, I'll mow your lawn, and I'll pay you $25. It's not the right way to do business. It's not the right way to operate government. So we're going to push this through because we have calculated in our budget a tax that we have not passed yet. I don't know why we do that. It's not the right way to do business. The second thing was I heard about where you have room, lunch, dinner, and other charges, 60% for the room, 40% for the board, and why would all-inclusives go from 60 to 20? Typically, you go to a hotel that you get lunch and dinner, and maybe they have a pool, maybe they have a recreational room. That's far from what these businesses offer. These businesses offer skiing, water park, horseback riding, go-karts, almost anything you can think of in the way of entertainment and amusement goes on at these all-inclusives. It's not like going to a standard hotel where you might get dinner and lunch and go take a dip in the pool. So that's why it seems like you're making a large drop from 60% to 20%. But if you look at the operating costs for the hotel that supplies you lunch, dinner, and some other amenities, as opposed to what it costs to put on all of these other entertainment amenities at an all-inclusive, it is quite different. They don't hire 350 people to serve you lunch, dinner, and a couple of lifeguards. It's like apples and oranges, and that's why it goes from 60 down to 20%.
I had Legislator Nolan next, but someone needs to give Legislator Nolan time. She spoke twice. Legislator Erner? Thank you. Okay, so 2 minutes.
Yeah, I echo those comments of Legislator Litz. I think it is a jump, and I appreciate Legislator Bowen pointing it out, 20% from the 60%. But over the past 10, 15 years working with the Tourism Advisory Board and speaking with this members of this industry, we don't have the complaints from the people at the other end of this scale that it's inaccurate. 85% of the room of the cost is probably for the room when you're just offering breakfast and a spa activity of some sort. And so 15% going to that makes sense. So most of the rest of the chart does make sense to me and hasn't generated the same kinds of concerns. This concern has been being brought to the county and being asked to address for more than a decade. And that we have information presented to us about the 20% being the cost, based on expenses. So I would say let's fix this and then let's do the work to see if we need to fix any of the rest of the chart. I think we might not. I think it's simpler than has been presented. And I would just finally say that what we're talking about is price points. I'll wrap up. If you say that the cost is borne by the patron and not the business, that assumes that the business passes along the cost to the patron. Because of price points, many of these businesses will not feel they can do that and be successful.
Thank you. Minardi Vitoronk, I saw you, but I'm going to – I saw now two people for the first time.
I see them too,
yes, I see that. I see Legislator Cahill, Legislator Petit, and then Legislator Cahill.
Thank you. I was moved by the discussion about pennies, and as one of my colleagues said, pennies don't seem to mean much as far as government goes, but I'd had this discussion many years ago with Tom Smiley when we were looking at New Pulse about doing a warehouse with reusables and buying sustainable materials in bulk. And he said, boy, if you could save me 3 cents on a roll of toilet paper, that would be amazing. So when we look at pennies and we look at it only being an additional $24, and you know, I agree, if you're passing the price along to someone who's going to a hotel, you know, $4, $6 is not a lot. But when you're talking about a venue like this that is a multi-generational venue that survived two pandemics because some of them have been open, you know, 150 years, $24 for a wedding party, now you're talking thousands. And in Pennsylvania, the occupancy tax is 6%, but in the Poconos, it's only 3%. And there are 3 major venues there right now that our all-inclusives are competing with directly. And it's really not that much further to go there. So I do support now the 2080. I think it's critical that we keep our local businesses solvent and continuing. And I don't want to do anything to jeopardize that.
Legislator Cahill.
Thank you very much. Hope everyone can hear me okay. So I just have a few points. First thing is that I don't think this process was rushed. We've been talking about this for well over a year. Matter of fact, we've been talking about it for many, many years. The difficulty came in when the governor finally signed the home rule request. However, the numbers that were in that resolution were discussed months and months and months ago. The folks from the two businesses that are represented there had made many comments to us, sent us emails, and called us, came to our meetings to discuss this, right? So this is not a new idea that we're rushing through in the last couple of weeks here. The second thing I want to point out is that, you know, one of the resorts has, at the end of their bill, a breakdown of what the additional fees are. One is 15% for a resort fee, one is 8% for sales tax, and the other one is 0.08%. For the Ulster County bed tax, 0.08%, right? That would mean if we doubled it, it would go all the way up to 1.6% on a total of over 20% of taxes and fees on top of the original rate. You know, the bulk of the rate over what is charged is in the resort fee. It's not in any of the taxes, right? And I understand it's difficult to run a business, but our 0.08% increase in that is, to me, is not going to, as someone said earlier, it's not going to keep people from coming to these resorts. They're going to, they want to come to the resorts, they're going to come here. You know, they can afford to pay $3,000, they can afford to pay $3,024. And that's just my opinion about it, you know, and that's that, right? The last thing I want to talk about is the proposal that's in front of us, which would reduce from 40 to 20%, would mean that two businesses or even up to 6 businesses, right, in the hospitality industry in Ulster County would be given a benefit that the rest don't. Because if you reduce it to 20% for them, that would eliminate any occupancy tax for those places. It would eliminate it. It wouldn't increase it at all. They would be paying the exact same amount today if you drop it down to 20% from 40%. And you keep it at 4%, right? You're cutting what you would charge in half. And so there would be no increase on their end at all. And that's not fair to everybody else in the county. All the other hospitalities, all the other hotels, motels, bed and breakfast, everybody else is going to see a 2% increase. These folks would not see that with the proposal on hand. And so, you know, that's my opinion about it. You guys know, I've said it over and over again. I just wanted to reiterate those two points tonight. Thank you.
Nardi, Leader Ronk, this would be for the third time. Someone want to give?
I think Roberts would have gone for the second time, right?
Yes.
He can go before me.
Okay. And actually, then I'm going to, in that case, call on Legislator Hanson. Yeah. Oh, you're going to give him the time. Okay, I'll go with Legislator Robertson for the second time.
So much, Madam Chair. You know, it's not fair that we have $100 million in the bank, according to the budget director. It's probably much more than that. we just put $18 million in a decarbonization fund. That's like a shell game. We put $15 million, I believe, in a housing fund that's designated for that. And we're taxing these, raising taxes, period, on the whole industry. You know, we shouldn't be raising taxes, period. But if we must, it's got to be fair. $100 million in the bank, we're going to take out of the pockets, out of the own pockets of these businesses, $40,000 right now, because people have pre-booked in September, October, November, for January, February. They're booked up full. And that money, they can't sit at the door and say, oh, we got to tax you an extra $27 because county raised taxes. It's going to leave a bad taste in those people's mouths. So Tom already said he's going to pay for that out of his own pocket. Probably the Turk family is going to too. Why are we doing that to these people? Can't we wait a month or two to raise taxes after a lengthy discussion instead of rushing this through? Thank you.
No, are you going to run? And the time's from legislator Hand for 2 minutes.
Thank you, legislator Hand. Appreciate it. I want to respond to a couple of things that were said. You know, in response to what Legislator Bowen had said, why is it fair that Minnewaska Lodge paid 60% and, you know, these places would pay 20%? Quite frankly, I think I'd be willing to, you know, I won't be here anymore, but I would have been willing to entertain a reduction of some kind for Minnewaska Lodge if they'd come and asked for one and given us the information that these businesses have given us. You know, it's not like we're doing this on the back of a napkin because we think that 20% is, you know, is what we feel like charging them. You know, they've shown us what they're in their operation, what it costs in each, you know, department, and what part of their cost comes from their room rent. You know, if Minnewaska Lodge believes that 60% is too high of a percentage, then they could come and talk to us. I mean, I believe that they're a part of the Lodging Coalition. The Lodging Coalition isn't just these two businesses. You know, the Lodging Coalition is made up of, you know, many, many lodging businesses in the county. You know, also, just to the point of the percentage in particular, you know, we have been talking about this for a very long time, many times since I've been a legislator, including, you know, my first 2 years in the legislature, we talked about the occupancy tax. And every time these businesses come and the Lodging Coalition comes and they say, look, if we're going to talk about the occupancy tax, please let's work on the all-inclusive rates. And every single time, from Legislator Archer, who brought this up previously, legislators who brought it up previously when I was first here, I forget exactly who it was then. It might have been Legislator Cagle, I'm not sure. You know, but every single time they've said, oh, yeah, we'll definitely work on the all-inclusive rates. We'll definitely work on cleaning up the all-inclusive language. And here we are with an opportunity to do so, and I'm hearing things like, well, these people can afford to pay it. It's not going to stop these people from coming. You know, we're not doing what legislators have said over and over and over again that we would do if we actually passed a larger occupancy tax.
Before you continue, let me just ask if someone else will give you, you've exceeded your 2 minutes. Thank you.
You're the man. I'll try to make this inside 2 minutes, you know, unless I can give us three, I don't know. So Legislator Criswell, he talked about, you know, we should have more time to discuss, you know, the increase or the decrease from 40 to 20. I want more time to talk about the whole thing. I think that this legislature deserves more time to talk about the whole thing. I don't agree that you levy a tax because it won't deter people from coming. It's not the reason you levy a tax. Usually you levy a tax because you need more money. Right now, you know, we're flush with cash according to the comptroller, according to our own financial staff, so much so that we're looking for places to spend it to get down below what we should have in our fund balance policy. Lastly, Legislator Cahill had said that, you know, again, the reason that this is rushed, even though he said it wasn't rushed, the reason it was rushed is because the governor waited until when she did to sign the law. Again, I find that to be bunk because we could have passed this earlier. We could have discussed this earlier. We could have worked with the all-inclusives earlier like we promised to over and over and over again. But we didn't, and here we are, December, you know, second to last week in December, right before the Christmas holiday. And, we're gonna pass this. We're not going to do what we said we were going to do. And eventually we're going to hurt these businesses that are so important to our county and our tourism.
Legislator Hewitt.
I'm going to be a yes on the amendment, partly because a lot of us are talking about the same thing, that we need more time for the formula. The formula we're working with is from the early 1990s, and we are now at $33 trillion of national debt. Our inflation that we've been experiencing is, as a restaurant owner, I've seen it make the cost of butter, produce, meats, all these costs are shooting up. I can only imagine horse feed, hardware materials, all these things to keep all inclusives going have skyrocketed in their costs. So that's why I'm a yes, because I could see for now, let's not penalize the all inclusives until we can do that in formula. That's it. Let's dig in January, work with the owners to see how we can come up with a formula that benefits everybody. Thank you.
Legislator Bowen.
So I heard that, you know, if the Minnehaha-Wasca Lodge came to the legislator and advocated for a lower rate, that we would probably grant it to them. I don't think that that's the way to go about it. I think that if we're going to raise it for all hotels and motels, we should do that evenly. We're carving out these two businesses and not raising taxes for them because they're showing up and advocating for themselves. I don't think that's a good enough justification.
Legislator Maloney, for the third time, granted time. Oh, Legislator Levine?
I'm going to offer 2 minutes to Legislator Maloney.
Okay.
That floor is giving me some.
Can I offer a point of information, or am I going to offer money? Because I believe that my comments were characterized as they were stated. But if you'd rather I ask somebody else for more time, I can.
Yes, I'd rather you ask for some more time. That's okay.
A couple quick things. I've heard people talk about cherry picking. It's not cherry picking because it's an industry. Everyone in that industry in Ulster County is going to be offered that. That's not cherry picking. That's ARPA and CARES. We cherry pick. So, fact. Have we had any hotels or any other business or Airbnbs come and talk to us and say this isn't fair? Have we? I mean, I haven't heard any public comment this whole time. Herbie makes a wonderful point about the budgeting aspect of this, and we have even done it one other time. I think the IS building over there on Foxhall was supposed to be sold for $1 million. We budgeted for it. Now you see the leases into us for $1. But we've made that mistake. We shouldn't make it again. That was bad budgeting, and we keep talking. Me and a lot of my colleagues keep talking on how to empower the legislature, how to fix and make us a co-equal branch of government with the executive, how to not get walked all over without fighting. It doesn't have to be divisive. But standing up and voting something through or voting something down because of not being met halfway, you know, I've been told that the executive is making phone calls pushing for this all-inclusive language to fail after budgeting in a way that never should have been budgeted for money we didn't know if we were going to have. And that's a bummer, and I think we need to stand up at some point as a body, especially when it's this close. We have bipartisan support, and go ahead and push that language through and deal with it later and say, stop bullying us, to be exact. Thirdly, the idea that this was not rushed. Let me remind everyone how this went down. I started talking about this 3 or 4 years ago. I put it up again. I finally got the support. My legislation went up to the state. I had been engaging the all-inclusives for years. I didn't always agree on certain things with collection and stuff like that, but I was always honest with them. I always engaged them, and I always promised them that I would do everything I could to keep them where they're at so they didn't have to worry about going up when we went up to 3, 4, 5%. But then when my legislation came back, where I assumed my name would be put back on this legislation, because it was a continuation. Two of my colleagues put their name on it, never talked to me, and then put it up late in the year without talking to me, without discussing what I had discussed with them. But one of the legislators that put his name on what I thought would be my legislation continued was engaging the all-inclusives for 6 months, didn't share any of that with us the other night, and then this does get rushed through. This is the definition.
I'm going to pause you to ask for additional time if you need it. No?
Floor, can I have just
legislator
one
proceed?
Point? And the last point I'll make, and well, you should explain yourself. So, and the last point I'll make is that once in a while we hear something that moves us, and earlier I think all of us got hit for a minute when we heard Mr. Smiley say that he was going to have to eat 40,000, and then we debate for an hour and forget about it, but let's not forget about it. Let's fix the language later.
Yes, Deputy Majority Leader, you should tell us.
Thank you, Chair Bartels. Since the previous speaker was obviously referring to me. So I first sponsored, I can't speak to what happened before my tenure, but I first sponsored an occupancy tax resolution in 2020 that was right before the pandemic. We had one meeting. We all sat in the Binder Library. We didn't know what was going on with this pandemic, but we knew that things were getting weird in China and in Italy, and it was getting uncomfortable for us to all be in the room together. And I remember a lot of the folks that are here tonight in the audience came then. We were also joined by more traditional hotels. I think there was even someone from Airbnb there, or someone who was representing an Airbnb group there. We backed off because there was a pandemic happening, and we knew that it wasn't the right time to do it. My conversations with them at that time was, we're going to come back and do this when there's not a global pandemic that's hampering your business. At the beginning of the term that's ending now, 2 years ago, we were still in an environment where it seemed like it wasn't the right time to introduce it. I didn't reintroduce the legislation that I had sponsored the year prior, and my colleague, Legislator Maloney, beat me to the punch and introduced the legislation that he had been working on before my tenure. These are all facts. I don't say that to say you don't own the legislation or I don't own the legislation, but at the end of the day, what we sent to the state wasn't potentially going to get passed, and we actually had to work with our state representatives and make sure that this thing went through, and so this is what came down, and I was the one that was doing a lot of those calls. So I'm not saying that I felt strongly about this having my name on it. I don't really, it's not a matter of point of pride for me, but I did say to the all-inclusives that I wanted to understand better about the whole system. I met with, various people. I know that we even had meetings with we had even more legislators at. I seem to recall certain people that are now supporting the occupancy tax were really upset that the all-inclusives were at the table then. I think some of the all-inclusives folks that are here probably have changed their opinion about some of the people in this room that they might have not been so fond of many months ago, feeling differently. So a lot of things have changed, and the names on the bills have changed as well. I hope that we don't get too resentful about whose name is on what. My name certainly doesn't need to be on anything. I want to do the right thing for the people of Ulster County. And from my conversations with the all-inclusives, and I respect them, and I very much appreciate the role that they play in our community, want them to continue playing that role. Once I understood where our guidance came from and the way that the bills were actually calculated, and I looked at some bills, it didn't seem right that their bills shouldn't go up with the rest of them, especially considering how small a percent of the entire bill it was. This is the process of learning about it that I followed, and I came to my conclusion, and that's my conclusion. And that's where we are.
Vice Chair Criswell, I have first. Did you want to speak for a third time?
I'll pass.
Okay. Legislator Nolan, this would be the fourth time, so you need time on two. You need someone to give you time.
Sure, I'll give
some.
Okay.
Thank you. I just have a short point. The comment that this isn't fair to single out this sector of this industry, or that it's cherry picking, I just, what this is this this sector of the industry has been treated unfairly since 1991-92, when we put in this way of taxing them that they started complaining about immediately, because it was taxing them on stuff that is not bed under the rubric of bed tax. So it is my feeling that we're correcting an injustice. All of the other parts of the industry did oppose going from 2% to 4%, but they did not challenge these apportionments. And so I think their complaint was with, you know, the overall tax, whereas this segment of the industry from the beginning has been clear that this apportionment is unfair. And so to keep them even with everybody else by not fixing it when we have a chance to do it, I mean, that I just don't understand why that's fair, because we continue an injustice.
Okay, it's getting challenging. Getting down to the end. Legislator. Let me just confirm. Yes. You can do that. You've only spoken.
Is there a record? Because I'm pretty competitive. I wasn't sure if there was a record on the number of times that I've spoken, but we've only been enforcing this for a couple of years. Two times.
You're
but
only on four.
I'm on four? I thought it was on five. All right. Fair enough. So I really wanted to respond to what Legislator Bowen had said in her last comments, that, you know, what I said was, you know, if Mittawaska Lodge came and asked, we would, you know, reduce their amount, and we're reducing this amount, or desiring to, from 40 to 20% because they asked. And I just, that's not what I said. If that is what I said, it's not what I meant. So I want to be clear about what I meant. These two properties, which are, you know, all-inclusive, you know, this wouldn't just go for these two properties. It's not going to read in our occupancy tax that Mohonk Mountain House and Rocking Horse Ranch pay 20%. It's going to be the all-inclusives, the ones on our chart there that have breakfast, lunch, dinner, and an extra. Well, and this is lots of extras. You know, they've come and they've shown us their expenses and what percentage of their expenses is dedicated to each of their departments. What I was saying is, if other sectors of the hospitality industry came and showed us that their expenses don't match what our, you know, what our delineation is, then we could look into that. And that's, to me, that's what you should be doing here, because it's a tax on room rent. I'm not going to read it because it'll eat into my 2 minutes too far, but in the comptroller's document that's been referenced several times, it actually says that this is not supposed to be, it's not supposed to be put into local occupancy taxes, that this, except that it may be if it's about how sales tax is collected or delineated. It's, to me, if their room rent is this much of their expenses, then that's the part that we should charge the room rent on. This is about renting a room. This isn't about ski hills. This isn't about five-star chefs or four-course meals. You know, this is about the room and how much the room costs, and we should be taxing the room itself, not all the other things.
It was five times.
Thanks.
Okay, I have Legislator Bowen. This is going to be a minute. I want to see it the third time, so someone's going to have to give Legislator Bowen time, but there's very few who are left who can give time. So
what happens when we run out of time?
Well, then the question is over. Then the question. So,
you haven't used any of your time.
Yes, but I'm not going to use
any. Can I use Frank's time?
I don't debate. No.
I would give Legislator Bowen time.
Okay, Legislator Stewart. That's you've already given time. Legislator Stewart, thank you.
I appreciate the clarification. I lied that you were saying that, but it did sound that way. One thing I want to point out is that Orange County has a bed tax of 5%, Sullivan County 5%, Albany 6%, Dutchess 4%, going up to 5%. So it's not new to these businesses that the surrounding area has been raising bed tax, and that it would potentially happen within our county as well. So in terms of like, oh, we're rushing this through, it's something new that they didn't plan for. It's been on the radar for a really long time. I think Dutchess County has had 4% since 2002, so that's a really lot.
Slater Litz, are you raising your hand?
No, I'm just saying it's 5% now.
I feel like this is a record since we're down so few who can actually lend time. So I think we're at that moment where we're actually.
I can crack the phone pass of his time.
No. All right. So here we are with the vote.
Nobody has asked you for your time yet.
She's unwilling to give.
No, I have to give my time only because it's sort of the principle of not being in the debate. Okay.
On the amendment, we are a short no with the following yeses, I believe. Legislators Stewart, Nolan, Maloney, Petit, and Hewitt.
We're a short yes on the amendment.
Five is 10. So the amendment is defeated 10 to 11. On the resolution?
I make a motion to offer Legislator Litz's amendment. I guess we're going to call it Amendment B with just the short-term rental language.
Okay,
so. I request a long rule for that.
Sure.
No one wants to debate before the long rule. Bartels?
No.
Bowen?
No.
Cahill?
No.
Corcoran?
Yes.
Criswell?
I'm going to be a yes. My understanding was this would really not have any major effect, and so I'm going to be a yes on that.
Turner?
No.
Gewehrs?
Yes.
Green?
Yes.
Hansett?
Yes.
Heppner?
No.
Hewitt?
No.
Levine?
Yes.
Litz?
I'm going to be a yes, but I'm also going to explain my vote. We sit in this chamber, we talk about affordable housing, and we talk about how our housing stock is being eaten up by short-term rentals and how we need to fight against that. We've asked our townships through our planning process to enact local laws, amend their local zoning codes with regards to short-term rentals. And the governor included it in her legislation about short-term rentals, even though I hear that probably next year they're going to write it out of the law. I'm not sure. But all the people that sit here, all of our legislators, and talk about how we need affordable housing and how we need to house people in this county. And we're even talking about opening up, or there was talk about opening up our county facilities so that the homeless would have some place to be, somewhere to stay. Yet, we turn around and we're not going to include short-term rentals in an occupancy tax that hopefully that occupancy tax, according to the last thing I read, 25% of that was going into housing. Yet they don't want to charge short-term rentals the tax. I'm a yes.
Maloney.
I'm a yes. And to my 9 colleagues who were for the language change for all-inclusive, I guarantee if we vote no on the overall resolution of the bed tax, we're going to get an immediate reconsider and we'll vote that amendment through. And I hope the yeses on the STR language hold no's and we can still get this done. I'm a yes on this language.
Nolan.
I think this is a technical modification to clarify that the short-term rentals are already included in this law, and it's a very important clarification that portion of the industry know that they are included. So I am a yes.
Petite?
Yes.
Roberts?
Yes.
Wrong.
In explaining my vote, I just want to commend Legislative Litz for, you know, doing the due diligence to, you know, to propose this. I think it's important. And, you know, the argument that came out from the executive's office that, it was going to be handled through a chapter amendment process, I think, you know, failed to, you know, highlight just exactly how complicated that process is, including passage by the state legislature, which we all know isn't going to happen right away. So I'm proud to vote yes on this amendment.
Sperry.
Yes.
Stewart.
I'm sorry about that. Yes.
And you, Chutel.
I always look for opportunities for bipartisanship wherever they found, and my understanding is that this is not going to make a material difference. I absolutely want to tax Airbnbs, I agree with many who have mentioned it should be a bigger part of the conversation, and in years ahead, I hope that we'll find ways to really address the fact that of all of the types of accommodation that we're looking at here, that's the one that takes out of our housing stock. I vote yes on the amendment.
I'd like to change my vote to yes.
The amendment is...
For the sake of bipartisanship, I change my vote to a yes.
I will also take it out of bipartisanship and change my vote to yes.
The amendment is adopted 18-3.
On the resolution as amended. Slater Roberts.
Does the clock start over? Do I get two more times?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Then you're 5 times.
Different question. Before we play chicken with the county tax dollars that the county executives already got counted, I'm going to, and I know about the 7-day rule, and I think we still have time to get this right. I'm going to ask that we make another amendment to the original Roberts, Maloney, Nolan amendment and change the 80-20 to 75-25.
That amendment would be out of order. It would have needed to have been.
Make a motion to override the rule of chair.
Second that.
Okay, so what's happening right now is a motion to overrule my ruling that out of order.
Long roll.
It'll be a long roll. And do I get to explain my?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm in explaining my overruling. It has to do with the general municipal law, It has to do with general municipal law, which requires a period of time of notice of any amendment to a local law, and that notice is not to the public, it's to the members. That period of time is 7 days in which it would be physically laid on your desk, and this was confirmed by council, which is why we laid the amendments that we did on your desk and provided for the special meeting. That 7 days does not include Sundays or the day it's laid on the desk. The alternative means of notifying the legislature, members of the legislature, would be through mail or email if there's a reasonable understanding that every member has email. It is our reasonable understanding that every member has email. In that event, it would have to be 10 days, not including the day it was emailed or any Sunday that falls in that 10 days. Obviously, being informed of an amendment today on the day of does not conform with the 7 or 10 day time frame, which is pursuant to general municipal law. That's the explanation. Now is the vote. So,
Madam Chair, point of order, do we need 12 votes for a supermajority?
12.
12.
Madam Chair, may I have time to explain my motion to override?
Let me find out if that's debatable in our rules. I need to find out. I need to confirm that, since this comes up very irregularly. If you could hold a moment.
So interesting. So
I'm gonna need a moment. I'm trying to move around in the chairs and debate.
Or we can just allow democracy to take charge.
Well, we're gonna follow our rules. We're gonna follow our rules.
Sometimes.
She can't be. What's the thing with that?
According to our rules, I can speak once, but that's if your counsel would like to confirm. It's on page 16 of our rules. My reason for making the motion to override the rule of the chair here is that, you know, first off, this is the first time that this has ever been used since I've been on the legislature for 16 years. I'm relatively certain that it's not a new piece of general municipal law. It's just one that we're now choosing to follow in this one specific instance. That having been said, I totally understand the need to follow general municipal law. Maybe this is just something that's been overlooked by every attorney that's ever worked here, including the two who are here now who have been our attorneys in previous years as well. I will say that I believe that this is a non-substantive change to the amendment that was laid on our desk, because it doesn't do anything other than change the percentage by a small amount, 5%. It changes the percentage that we were already changing in the amendment. To me, that's not substantive and would not apply to the general municipal law that has been cited by your counsel. I believe that my counsel, can argue that as well. I'm not going to get into a counsel's argument. I just, I think that, it'd be good to have this come up before the legislature. So that's why I'm making a motion to override your rule.
Majority Leader Hefner.
Thank you. I'm going to vote against overriding the ruling. One of the main reasons that we're here tonight was out of respect to our colleagues and preparedness to ensure that there was adequate time for the amendment we just historically debated. In that debate, you heard a lot of members saying, oh, the reason why, we should, legislature should look at, the percentage and whatnot. So, again, we were here out of respect for our colleagues, and now apparently we're just going to sit here and keep putting out amendments, changing the percentages every time we fail a vote. And these percentages have real hard-earned tax dollars attached to them. I think we're much better than that as a legislature. I hope my colleagues will join me in voting against overruling the chair, and we can move on with business.
Legislator Nolan.
Yeah, I think that's an unfair characterization. There was some discussion and there were comments that if we were making a smaller change or if the change were less of a jump, that it would be viewed more favorably. And so I think this is just our working on this percentage in the amendment in a shortened time frame. Without this being sent back to committees and all that because of the time pressure. So this is the opportunity to try to garner, we have votes that are splitting 10-11. If a 30-70 split makes sense to more people, then I think we should put it in front of ourselves and vote to do that. So this is purely with the sense that we could pass an amendment that would be fairer to the situation and allow the body to come together around that change. And the difference between 20 and 30 in terms of the language of the amendment, I don't think is generates any problem in terms of the municipal law and the notice requirement. In this case, that notice requirement has been met and the numbers have been under discussion for more than 10 days in terms of what we would be doing here today.
Legislator Roberts.
Madam Chair, thank you again for allowing us to speak on this important matter. I believe we have time to overrule the chair and get this done, pass the amendment. We could, I believe if the clerk can figure it out, we have time to have another special meeting this year, or we could vote on it January 4th if we're going to stick to the letter of the municipal law. We can do a reorg to get this passed. Otherwise, this whole night will go down in failure. The 7 days, the 10 days, the Sunday, everything that you worked so hard for, Madam Chair, is going to fail because the unwillingness to compromise by the establishment here.
I was looking to see if anyone else had their hands.
This is on the whether or not.
This is on whether the ruling of the chair shall be sustained. So the question is, shall the ruling, the way I need to put it, according to our rules, is shall the ruling of the chairperson be sustained and the decision of the chair stand as the judgment of the legislature?
May I make a point of information?
Yes.
That means that any legislator that wants to override your ruling votes no.
Yes, that's based on the language in our rules, which correct. I would have gotten the flip, but yes. So if you
it is.
Is this a point of information?
In a sense, I there's a lot of statements being made out there as to what's allowed, whether we're violating, we're not. I think we have three attorneys for a reason. I think it would be prudent for all of us to hear from each of the three attorneys in the room and make a decision based on that. I think we're doing this based on just other legislators, their interpretation. I think it's dangerous.
Second the motion to hear from the attorneys.
Which is?
I don't know.
Okay, so we can allow to hear from the attorneys. If that makes the body feel more comfortable, I'm okay with that. I don't know the forum. I suppose we'll start with the attorney to my left.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Mr. Marsh, for the opportunity. I'm actually very happy to have the opportunity to speak on this very important issue because it is very clear from a legal perspective that we are not permitted to make such an amendment. And such an amendment would violate the general municipal law, a law that we are not permitted to violate, and nor can we suspend because we don't have the authority to do so. So I'm glad to be given the opportunity to be able to put my opinion on the record because I don't want there to be any confusion. This would be an illegal amendment.
We want to go to minority counsel and then Council Horse.
Sure, I'm happy to be the slice between the two pieces of bread here. My take on this is that the topic was before the legislature in a timely fashion. The change of 5% can be characterized as de minimis. The general home rule law, in my view, does not provide a bright line rule. There are obviously cases that have been litigated. Everything's fact specific and sui generis. If this were to be challenged, certainly the argument I would make is that it is a non-substantive de minimis change because the topic was in front of the legislature, the numbers have been discussed, and a change of 5% is not significant.
Council Gordon, you want to speak?
Yeah, I have no doubt. I have no doubt that under the law, the legislature does not have the authority to pass any local law that has not been before you in final form. And that's the language of Municipal Home Rule Law Section 20 for the number of days that the chair stated. It's 7 days if it's physically on your desk in terms of hard copy, 10 days by email, and those days are counted in such a way that you need to add 1 or 2 days. You have no authority to pass the local law, period. This is not a trivial change or whatever the language is that's being suggested. This is a substantive change. This is a classic substantive change. You're changing a number, a tax number. This is not changing a comma. This is not, you know, capitalizing something. It's not inserting this is a substantive change. And that's not even the language of the law. The language of the law is in final form. So you cannot pass this law tonight if it's amended. I do not express any opinion on whether a motion to amend the resolution is legal. That's subject to our own procedures, and I won't get into that. That's not a useful home rule question, but if you do pass the amendment, you cannot pass the law.
Legislator Litz.
Hearing the last legal opinion about voting on something that is not in its final form before us on the day of session means this body has broken the laws several, dozens, maybe 100 times.
On sustaining the ruling of the chair, so it's a yes if you're sustaining the ruling of a chair. It's a no if you're overruling the chair's ruling.
Yeah.
You know it's wonky. That's what our rules say. Long roll. Bartels. Yes. Bowen.
Yes.
Cahill.
Yes.
Corcoran.
No.
Criswell.
Yes.
Erner.
Yes.
Guberis.
Yes.
Green.
Yes.
Hanseth.
No.
Heppner.
Yes.
Hewitt.
Yes.
Levine.
Yes.
Litz.
No.
Maloney.
Pass.
Nolan.
In that I can't see who would be an aggrieved party, I'm a no.
Petit.
No.
Roberts.
Again, the minority caucus has offered several compromises that are bound to go to defeat. Again, I hope this whole local law does not go down in defeat tonight. I'm a no.
Ronk.
No.
Sperry.
Yes.
Stewart.
Based on advice of counsel, yes.
You should tell.
Yes.
Maloney.
You know, I don't feel like I have enough information to make a vote up or down. I will say that this is proving, it's evidence that the individuals that want to pass this are willing to, if it went through as far as the language itself and the regular amendment, that we would be willing to take up and negotiate, give time, and that's what this is proving to me. Who would be, to Legislator Nolan's point, who would sue if this would it have to be a legislator, or could any citizen sue to challenge this? To Herb's point, I do believe I've been a part of this many, many, many other times, and I don't know why now we're deciding to rule this way. So I don't know. Maybe counsel, you can tell me, would it be without enough information? Do I abstain or recuse?
On that question, yeah. On that question, you could.
For lack of information and understanding, what would the post, no. What would it be, a recusal?
I don't believe it would be a sufficient basis to recuse. You'd either have to be a yay or a nay.
Or not.
Well, I'm not voting. Not voting on it. I don't have enough information. I don't understand. I hear one opinion from one lawyer in real time. I'm getting one opinion from one lawyer I respect, another opinion from another, and you want me to make that call right now, where I'd like to override the chair, but I don't know if I am breaking law. I got two different opinions in real time, and I don't know how I can make that vote.
Our rules say you have to vote, so that would be registered as a no.
Yeah, he can leave the room.
By my count, the ruling of the chair has already been sustained. I don't know how you feel about that. I don't know if that changes your mind or not.
You make me vote.
You can leave.
It's our rules.
So we don't move on until I vote.
I
it registers as a million.
I mean, it doesn't matter. There's 12 votes.
Well, you're asking them on legal grounds by not voting. But I guess, who my attorney's telling me two different things, saying one I can do this, one I can't.
To use your...
It's almost as if more time would help.
We should send it back to the committee.
When's the last time we were told by one attorney it's an illegal vote and another attorney is telling us it's completely legal what we're doing and you want me to go ahead and make a vote?
I want you to follow the rules.
His rules, not his rules.
No, not their rules. The rules of the legislature. The rules of the legislature, which say you have to register a vote unless it conflicts with you on financial grounds, then you can recuse or abstain. So,
just to clarify my my opinion is that an amendment at this late time would result in our inability to pass it tonight. So it would be illegal for us to pass it in such short order.
In your opinion, would I be voting for something that is illegal? Would I be breaking our rules? Would I be breaking the law?
If it succeeded. We would be in violation of general municipal law.
That's the point I'm making.
Yes. Sorry if I was unclear.
But I'm getting the opposite opinion from another lawyer here.
It's happened before.
Point of order, Madam Chair. I believe that could be in violation or could be held in violation of general municipal law. Yeah, because it would take somebody to challenge. It's not a self-policing.
That's you should tell.
Yes.
So the ruling of the chair stands by a vote of 13-7 with one abstention. Okay. So
on the local law?
On the local law.
As amended.
With the list amendment.
Yes, minority leader
Ryan. Thanks. You know, I've heard a lot about cherry picking tonight. I plan to take some of my time over the holiday to look back over the last 4 months because that's the only time that I can go back and see if I can find a local law that we amended the night of, or within the last 7 days with it not being on our desk. Because in my time as a legislator, this is the first time that anything has been on my desk in its final form for 7 days. So when I hear about cherry picking and we're cherry picking the industry, we are cherry picking a local law to begin to follow, the general municipal law, home rule law, however works in my last meeting as a legislator. So that's an enjoyable piece I'll take with me when I head back to Shangam tonight and into the future. But, I do find this to be cherry-picking an issue that we could find approval on both sides of the aisle. We had some minor discussions about changing the percentage. The day after our legislative meeting where we had decided to hold a special meeting, and that was too late because of the date that you chose, Madam Chair, because it would have been one too few days to have it on our desk for the first time anything's ever been on our desk. Again, it's just emblematic of how this legislature's run for the last 2 years and even 2 years previous to that. Stymieing the minority every chance that you get, and, it's one of the reasons that this is my last meeting. And I look forward to running things differently down in Shanghai.
On the resolution as amended?
As amended, I believe. No one's registered a no vote with me, so unless.
Long roll, Madam Chair. This is 62?
Yes.
As amended?
Yeah. Sorry.
Long roll.
This is the amended. This is
with your
amendment B.
Yep. Your amendment has already been passed. Legislator list.
Yep.
This is the resolution.
This is your amendment.
Well, what I have reported the vote is that we voted
to add the amendment, but there was no vote on as it is amended.
That's what we're doing right now.
Yes, but people are confused. They think they're voting on the original law.
No, I don't think people are confused.
They're going to vote no, right?
No.
This is the resolution as amended. I think we have clarity in the room.
See, but then they're going to vote for the original law.
No.
And there is no original anymore. It's been amended. It's been amended.
At all. It's been a lot of votes tonight, so we're just ironing out all the kinks.
I'm just enjoying every last moment with you around.
It's rushed. It's all good.
Okay, can we please have order? This is the resolution. If I can have order, this is the resolution as amended with the amendment offered by Legislator List to add the two words in the two places or the three words in the two places. Here we go. Resolution as amended. It's the resolution with the List version that was on your desk. Bartels.
Yes.
Bowen.
I'm voting yes, and I just wanted a point of clarification that the local law is different from a resolution.
The resolution is actually adopting the law, and the local law is the law itself. You had three versions on your desk of the law. You chose the second version. You're good. Cahill.
Yes.
Corcoran.
No.
Criswell.
Yes.
Erner.
All wealth comes from the earth. Let us listen. Yes.
Gavaris.
Yes.
Green.
Yes, on version B.
Hanset.
No.
Hepner.
Yes.
Hewitt.
Yes.
Levine.
Yes.
Blitz.
No.
Maloney. Nolan.
Pass.
Petit.
No.
Roberts.
Don't need to pass. I'm a no.
Ronk.
Pass.
Barry.
Yes.
Stewart.
Legislator Stewart, we couldn't hear you if you spoke.
No.
You should tell.
Yes.
Nolan.
Because the short-term rentals in our county have caused, I think, quite a bit of disruption, I'm going to vote yes. I think we need to have taxation, and we need to have taxation at a fairly reasonable rate on that portion of this industry. And I hope that the other businesses within this industry are able to accommodate this change. And I pledge myself to try to get a correction in the percentages of the allocation of room and board in 2024 and ask my colleagues to join with me on that.
And Ronk.
Boy, am I relieved that we found this obscure piece of general municipal law that we've never used before, not once in this legislature, to stymie the minority from working to solve a decades-old inequity that many legislators, even those who are sitting in this room, had pledged to solve.
The resolution is adopted 13-8.
We will now open the floor to public comment on those issues that are not before the legislature. Is there anyone who would like to speak? Do we have anyone signed up?
There aren't. Anyway.
Is there anyone that would like to speak? The subject not before the legislature. Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion. Well, before I entertain a motion, let me just say that the organizational meeting of the Ulster County Legislature will be held on Thursday, January 4th, 2024 at 6:30 p.m. in Legislative Chambers, 6th floor, County Office Building, 244 Fair Street in Kingston. I will now entertain a motion.
Madam Chairwoman, I will make a motion to adjourn our last session of 2023.
Second.
Okay, all those in favor of adjournment?
Aye.
Opposed? Meeting is adjourned. Thank you all. Get home safe and happy New Year.
Thank you.
Thank you.